The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
So much, ladies, for that. That's a wonderful blessing. Amen. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to look at Psalms 107 and verse 9, where the Bible says that he satisfieth the longing soul, he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And I like to speak this morning, if I may, as our time allots us to be together, on satisfied in Christ. You know, so many times we think of things that satisfy us, such as you think about things that would satisfy a person. Depending on your mindset at the time, you're going to come up with a different list, I'm sure. But you may come up with something like this. You may come up with eating a full meal. I know sometimes we eat a full meal, we are satisfied. Last night, I studied in my office until about, about 6:30 or so, and I called my dear wife, and I said, okay, I'm leaving, and she says, okay, I'll have supper ready. That was pleasant words to my ear, and she said, I'll have supper ready, and so I left, and I went to Forney, where I live, and she had supper ready, and we ate together about, I don't know what time it was, but we ate together, and it was just a satisfying time. And the other day I was leaving the church office, and it was during that stormy type of day that we had, you know, and I live out in Forney. Normally it takes me 20 minutes or so to get to my house. It took me an hour and 15 minutes to get to my house. And what do you do when you're in traffic for an hour and 15 minutes? Nothing. But just watch the taillights in front of you, but you can read or whatever, but we weren't going too fast anytime soon. But when I got home, and we had that wonderful meal on that day, and almost every night we're able to eat supper together now, and what a wonderful blessing that is. And can I tell you, when I eat and I'm full, I am satisfied. Can I tell you, that's one of the things. Sometimes a nice shower will cause a person to feel clean, or a bath, or whatever the case may be. And they will leave that area and they will say, I am satisfied. You know, when you pay your bills on time, yes, that's right, you can say, I am satisfied. When you've been praying for that church member to come to church, and you've been praying for an awful long time, and all of a sudden that church member starts attend church with you, you can actually look at it and say, boy, I tell you what, I am satisfied. It might be that you prayed for somebody to be saved for such a long time, and now they bowed their heart. Brother Costa shared about his dear mother that received Christ in her 80s, been praying for her for many, many years, and she bowed her heart, received Christ as Savior, and there's a type of satisfaction there when somebody receives Christ, and you can look up and say, I am satisfied. When all of a sudden you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you a good bill of health. He also gives you another bill, but he gives you a good bill of health. And you can look at yourself in the mirror and think about wonderful things, and you can say, I am satisfied. When you complete a task, whatever the task may be, it might be the task of working or completing a project. It might be the task, I know we have several people that write songs. It's in our church. Or maybe somebody's writing a book. Or maybe somebody that is working in a ministry and you're able to complete studying your lesson to be able to give that lesson in good order to the people that are listening. You can look at it and you can say, I am satisfied. We have people in our church that do so many variational type of jobs, from those that are roofers, to those that are plumbers, to those that are electricians, to those that work in city offices, to those that teach at Baylor University, to those that work in the hospitals, to those that work in so many different areas, those that own their own businesses, and those that work for people that own businesses. We have so many different types of people that attend our church. But when you complete a job, whatever that job might be, and you walk away from that particular job, you can walk away, if you've completed it, to your satisfaction and simply say, I am satisfied. So let me speak to you for a few minutes on being satisfied. Now, I'm going to bring that up at the end of the message, and I'm going to show you how you can be satisfied. But in lieu of that, let me show you some places in the Bible where God says there are some things that will never be satisfied. There are some things that will never be satisfied. Take your Bible, if you will, and look at this, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and in verse 3, or listen to it as I do read, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and in verse 3. The Bible says, a time to be born and a time to die. Did you know the grave is never satisfied? The grave is never satisfied. They say this, that 30 million people die annually. That's 3,400 people that die every hour. That is 57 graves that would be dug in the next 60 seconds. 57 graves that would be dug in the next 60 seconds. Now, can I tell you, the grave is never satisfied. You know, people will continue to die. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 27, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Well, I'm just trying to encourage your heart. But one day we will all die. One day we'll take our last breath. Now, I don't know about you. I've heard people say this. I've heard preachers say this even. I've heard preachers say that when I die, I hope that I'm thundering down the word of God and I'm preaching the Bible and I hope to die of a heart attack in the pulpit. Not me. No, not me. I've heard people say this. Boy, I tell you what, I work in a rodeo and if I die, I want to die on a horse. No, not me. Not me. I don't want double pain, dying and falling off the horse too. Somebody has said this. Boy, I tell you what, I want to die while I'm doing this particular thing that I like. No, not me. Not me. I like to die in my sleep. That's what I like to do. And I like to close my eyes and wake up in glory. Amen. Dr. Bill Rice, many years ago, was having heart failure. And one night he looked at his dear wife. And he always said this. When he found out that he was having heart trouble, he said it more when he went to bed than any other time. But he laid his head on his pillow at night. And as he laid his head on his pillow at night, he looked at his dear wife and he said, I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you in the morning. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, he's going to see her in the morning regardless, whether it would be in the morning physically as he woke up or whether he'd see her in the morning over yonder somewhere in heaven, he'd see her in the morning. So that became a mainstay type of statement that he would say to his dear wife as she would rest her head upon her pillow at night and he would rest his head upon his pillow at night and he would gaze over at her and say, honey, I love you and I'll see you in the morning. Well, sure enough, how he died in his sleep, and he woke up in glory, and one day when she went home to be with the Lord, she saw him in the morning. Can I say the grave is never satisfied? Now, I preached many, many funerals. You can understand, I'm a pastor, and before I was a pastor, of course, I was in full-time Christian evangelism, and I traveled, and I preached all over the place, and before that, I was a pastor up in Tennessee, and before that, I was a youth director in Brooklyn, New York, and also Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And can I tell you, there's been many, many funerals that I preached. I preached the funerals of little babies. I preached the funerals of children. I preached the funerals of those that were teenagers and those that were single adults and married adults, young though they may be. I preached the funerals of those that had been married for some time and those that were old timers. And I preached many, many funerals. Can I tell you, I never am delightful about preaching a funeral. I mean, there's just nothing that I delight in that. I've stood beside so many weeping people over the years, and I've hugged them, and I've pulled them into my side as I'd give them a side hug, and I've had dear mothers that have gone to crying, and they would stand in front of me and all of a sudden lay their head on my chest and just pray for them as they would cry, and I've had times where they've had to bury their young, and I've stood beside them, and I've tried to comfort them. Now, can I tell you, there's nothing good about burying somebody, especially if they're lost. Now, if they're lost, it makes it more complicated. If that person's never received Jesus Christ as Savior and you have to put them under the grave or put them in the grave, can I tell you, that's a horrible experience for a preacher, knowing where they are and knowing that they'll spend eternity in hell. That's a horrible thing to think upon. But can I tell you, listen, the grave is never satisfied. It's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. That means God has an appointed time for you. That means God has an appointed time for me. You can't change that. You can take, you can enjoy your life more if you're healthy, but still, you can't get away from God's appointed time. God has a time for you. Now, I'm saying you ought to take your vitamins. You ought to exercise. You ought to be in good health. I believe you ought to try and do that because that's going to help you to enjoy your trip while you're here. It's going to help you to be less sick while you're here. But God is the one that says when he'll call you to glory. God is the one that has a time for you. Now, you can go to God. I believe this. Hezekiah did this. Hezekiah went to God and said, God, would you give me just 15, or would you give me more years? Would you add years to my life? And God chose to add 15 more years to his life. And God does that. See, God is the one that has the power of death. God is the one that has the power of life. That's why I say that young people ought to decide you ought to live for God. That's why I say that older people ought to decide you ought to live for God. Why? Because God is the one that has the power to be able to extend your life, or God is the one that has the power to be able to take your life. And so we ought to decide to understand that the grave is never satisfied. Statement number one. Statement number two, the barren wound is never satisfied. I've had ladies to come into my office, married ladies, and say, preacher, would you please pray? I would like to have a child, and I can't have a child. I've had people that's come, and they would say, oh, preacher, please pray. We'd like to have a baby, and we do not have the opportunity now to be able to have a baby. Can I tell you, there's an emptiness there. There's a hurt that is there. There's problems that are there. Now, can I tell you, it's very important. It's very important. Look up here. It's okay, and we're all right. Just don't take any more flash photography there, if you would, and I would appreciate that because you're disturbing people, and you're making people feel uneasy. I know I'm handsome. I know that. I know that you would like very, very much to be able to get a good picture of me. And but if you'll wait, by the way, if you'll come by at the end, if you'll come by at the end of the service, if you will, and meet me out there, and if you take a picture of me, I'll sign it. I will. Then I'll charge you $40. Statement number one, the grave is never satisfied. Statement number two, the barren wound is never satisfied. Now, can I tell you, Paul used this. Paul thought about this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He said, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, can I tell you, he longed inside. Just like a dear lady that could not have a child, he longed inside. Oh, I want to see fruit. I want to see people come to know Christ as Savior. Now, by the way, you and I as believers ought to feel that way. We ought to feel that way. We ought to feel like I've not had opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, and so I want so much, so very much, to be able to take and to tell people of their need of Christ. I want so much to be able to do that. And so please understand that it is important that you and I take the Bible, and if we don't know how to use the Bible, can I tell you that's okay? Amen. Do you have a care for somebody? Do you care for somebody? Well, then take a gospel tract and give somebody a gospel tract. And take a gospel tract, if you will, and be able to share your testimony. Take a gospel tract and just hand it to them and say, read this in your spare time. You know, because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves. And you and I need to understand the importance of that. There should be a longing for us to be able to see people come to Christ as Savior, just as Paul did, where Paul said, and I'll restate it again, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, where it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I've got a longing in my heart, a desire in my heart. He said, it's something that's not satisfied. I want my friends, I want my relatives, I want my loved ones to be saved. Can I ask you, dear friend, we're heading into 2000, we're in it. We're in 2017 right now. Is your mom saved? Is your dad saved? Is your brother saved? Is your sister saved? Is your aunt saved? Is your uncle saved? Is your grandpa saved? Is your grandma saved? Is your cousin saved? Is your nephew saved? Is your niece saved? Is your grandchildren saved? Is your great-grandchildren saved? Are those that live above you in an apartment complex, or those that live below you in an apartment complex, those that live beside you, are they saved? Are they saved? What about the grocer guy that you go, or the gal that checks you out at the grocery store? Are they saved? What about the person that you go in to pay for your gas? Are they saved? What about the person that you do your banking with? Are they saved? What about the neighbor that lives beside you, in front of you, or behind you? Are they saved? What about that one that comes to your house and knocks on your door to solicit you to purchase some type of item that they're trying to sell? Are they saved? What about the person that calls you on the telephone and they say, oops, it's a wrong number? May I say that for somebody to call a Christian on the telephone, it's never a wrong number. Are they saved? What about the person that comes across you, maybe in a store somewhere, or maybe you go to school with them, or maybe you do something else with them? Are they saved? Now, I'm saying that here we understand that the grave is never satisfied. Statement number one. Statement number two, the barren wound is never satisfied. Statement number three, the dry ground is never satisfied. We live in Texas. We understand that, don't we? Well, I tell you what. When I first came to Texas, I thought that I didn't know you didn't have basements here. I thought that in Texas you had basements. Now I find out there are building houses that have basements now, but you pay extra money to be able to have a basement. And it costs you a lot to be able to have a basement in your house. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that Texas was so weird when it came to its weather. I tell you, I've never seen a place like this before. You know, today outside, when I was coming in this morning, I don't know what the temperature was, but it was mighty low. It was 27? 27 degrees outside. Now, you take and you flip that thing around, because he told me in a couple of days it's going to be in 70s. So it's 27 today, and in a couple of days it'll be 72. Can you imagine that? And you say, preacher, don't you think people will get sick? Well, probably so. But for some of us, we're taking off the heavy overcoats and we're going to go outside in that 70-some degree weather and we're going to shout hallelujah, amen. But in the summertime, can I tell you, in the summertime, it has gotten so dry around here that I stepped outside one time and I almost wound up in China. And that is in my backyard. You know, they don't just have cracks here. They have, I don't know what they call them. They're more than holes in the ground, that's for sure. It looks like somebody's drilling for oil. They just happen to put it in my backyard. You know, but those cracks go down ever so far. Now, but only in Texas have I seen such. Now, can I tell you, the Bible says right here that the dry ground is not satisfied. Listen to it. The Bible says in Isaiah 44 and verse 33, it says, for I will pour water, it says, upon him, this is a comparison, that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit, it says, upon thy seed. And it says, my blessing, it says, upon, it says, thine offspring. So here's what he says. He says the dry ground is like almost the dryness of a man, the dryness of a woman that is not spirit filled. You know, it's sort of like there's a hardness there. And by the way, when you are spirit filled and somebody preaches, you're wide open. You're wide open. You know, you're just wide open. Brother Ray, I wish you could have came. Those of you that are married couples, we took a cruise this year. We sure did. And we went to Mexico. We sure did. And we flew in a special speaker from California, he and his dear wife, from Napa, California, Mike Ray and his wife, Verna. And we had a wonderful time. And we didn't participate in all the other junk that was on the cruise. But as Christian couples, we just had a wonderful time learning and being instructed and eating that food. Can I tell you? That's the first time I went on such. And you could just eat and eat and eat. By the time I got done, I'd gained 7 pounds in 1 week. That's a record, 7 pounds in 1 week. I went home, tried to climb in my clothes, and my clothes started weeping. I mean, 7 pounds in 1 week. One of the things he said for couples to get along, you have to have an open spirit. And he did his hands open, you know, open spirit. And he said, and in talking to one another, he said, sometimes your spirit is closed. And he says, so if this person has an open spirit and your spouse has a closed spirit, you're not going to be getting along too well. But you have to have an open spirit. He said, so sometimes when Verna, his wife, would suggest something, he would let his wife know without any argumentation whatsoever that his spirit was not open to it. So he'd just go like that. Now, can I say in church, your spirit ought to be open. You ought to be open to what God can do in your life. You ought to be open as to how God can lead you and how God can help you and what God wants to teach you and how God could help your children, and be open to the very things of God whereby God could work in your life. Now, wait a minute, our spirit, if you would, could be like that which is onto the dry ground. The Bible says over in Psalm 51 in verse 11, the Bible says, cast me not away. It says, from thy presence, it says, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, that's talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit, not the indwelling, but the very presence of power of the Holy Spirit. Now, over in Psalm 42 and in verse 1, the Bible says, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. In Psalm 42 and in verse 2, the Bible says, my soul thirsteth for God. It says, for the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? All right, so here we see that David, who had penned these Psalms, is saying, boy, I'm thirsty for thee. I'm thirsty. I want to know you. I want to know you. And by the way, watch you. You can be friends with somebody casually, but you ought not to be friends with somebody casually that you're trying to get to know better. Stay with me. You know, your relationships can go deep. Yes. Come here. And so here we are. We're walking down the hallway. And as we walk down the hallway, I can just walk beside him, never talk to him. I can ignore him. I just never talk to him. By the way, that's the way it is in church. You know, or you could strike up a conversation. How's your day been? Okay. That's great. You enjoy church?
Yes, sir.
I enjoy church too. And we think about that preacher.
He's great.
Oh, I agree with you. And you know, you can enjoy talking with each other a little bit. What's your favorite food?
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti. You like spaghetti. You like meatballs in it? You like turkey meatballs? You like hamburger meatballs? You like venison? What do you like? Deer meatballs? What kind of meatballs?
Hamburger meatballs.
Hamburger meatballs. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Do you like lots of sauce on it, or are you one of these guys that eats it with no sauce?
Sauce.
Lots of sauce. You like hot sauce?
No, sir.
Oh, what's wrong with you? And all right. But what are we doing? We're communicating. We're talking. You know, you can talk to people in church and it's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with talking to somebody in church. You can get to know people in church and it's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with spending time with people in church. Did you know that? Did you know you could go out and eat ice cream with somebody beside yourself? Yeah, sure you can. You might even could get them to pay. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here we see that the grave is never satisfied. The barren wound is never satisfied. The dry ground is never satisfied. You know, God's people long for fellowship. And the fellowship that you and I ought to long for, beloved, more than anything else, is the fellowship with God himself. To get to know him, to spend time with him. To be able to know exactly how to please him. You know, we have three boys and we have a precious girl. And can I tell you, when they want to get close to us, it means a whole lot to us. It means a whole lot to us. You know, when they want to spend time with us, that's a wonderful blessing to a mom and daddy. Now, can I tell you, it's a wonderful blessing to God's heart when his children want to spend time with him. It's a wonderful blessing. You say, how do you spend time with him, preacher? Well, by coming to church and having an interest in the Bible, an interest in the book that he gave us, is spending time with him. And it means a lot to him when you come to church. It means a lot to him when you talk with him. Don't just talk with him to ask major problems or for major prayer requests. Go to him about the little things. About the little things. Go to him about the small things. I often tell the story about old Peter Cartwright. Old Peter Cartwright was a circuit riding preacher back in the 1800s or so. And old Peter Cartwright, and he is riding one day, and I told the story here. Oh, this is probably about the 15th time that I told it, but you like it, and I do too. And so here Peter Cartwright's riding, and he preached a revival. And as he preached a revival, he was tired. He was heading into the nearest town. And as he's heading into the nearest town, he decided to stop water his horse. And as he got off his horse, he went over and he sat underneath the shade tree for a little bit as his horse was watering. And all of a sudden he looked up. There's a big old grizzly bear between him and the horse. Oh, he prayed earnestly. He said, "Dear God, please, please remove that grizzly bear. Please don't let that grizzly bear kill my horse. I've got a long way to go. It's, oh God, please, please, please." And he got done praying, looked up, and the grizzly bear was gone. He rode for several hours, went into that nearest town, checked himself into the nearest inn, went up to his hotel room, laid on his bed that night. All of a sudden, here comes a mosquito. Mosquito's going around his face and landing on his nose, and he'd swat that mosquito. 1 hour went by, and 2 hours went by, and 3 hours went by, and all of a sudden, the sun is coming up in the morning. He goes over and he stares into that mirror, and he looks into the mirror, and he's got blood-stained eyeballs, and as he looks into the mirror, he began to chuckle a little bit, and he said, "I trusted God to get rid of the grizzly bear, but not one time did I trust God to get rid of the mosquito." But isn't that the way we are? You know, we trust God for the big things, but we don't trust God for the little things. Why? Because we're so used to taking care of the little things ourselves. When's the last time you prayed for shoestrings for your shoes? Sure. When's the last time you prayed for God to bless your children before they get in trouble? Sure. When's the last time you prayed a little prayer? I'm talking about a little prayer. You prayed and you went to God and said, "God, would you take care of this?" Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that there is the dry ground that's never satisfied. Let me give you two more and I'm done. Statement number next. I said the grave is never satisfied. The barren wound is never satisfied. The dry ground is never satisfied. The fires of hell are never satisfied. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 20. The Bible says hell and destruction are never full. Well, how in the world could that be? Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And so God said that hell and destruction is never full. Now, how could that be? Well, we understand our Bible, do we not? We understand the Bible says that hell is not prepared for you and I, but rather the Bible says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. So when God made hell, he did not make hell for you and mine. He did not make hell for me and mine. He made hell for the devil and his angels. See, God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God said, "I'm not willing that any of you die and go to hell. I'm not willing for it. That's not my will. That is not my will." Those people that believe in what they call the predestination election, that God chooses some people to go to heaven and God chooses some people to go to hell, they don't know what they're talking about. That's not in your Bible. God said, "I'm not willing that any should die and go to hell. That's not my will. I want everybody to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He loved the world. You're part of the world, friend. Your neighbor, your relatives, they're all part of the world. Now, they may choose not to receive Christ, and they may choose to send themselves to hell, but God's will is that everybody should be saved. That is God's will. And so, now people don't always understand the gospel, and that's how come you're attending a soul-winning church. That's why we run buses. That's why we pass out gospel tracts. That's why we send missionaries into the foreign field to give the gospel, to give the good news. It's good because it's the way to go to heaven. It's news because most people don't know it. And so we send people to give the good news, all right? Now, can I tell you, the Bible says here that hell is never satisfied. So what happens is that God has to enlarge hell. Let me prove it to you. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself." The Bible says, "and opened her mouth without measure." So here's what happens. When somebody dies and they go to hell, hell was not prepared for them. It was prepared for an elite group, the angels, the devil and his angels. All right, so hell was made for them. So when a person dies and goes to hell, then here's what God has to do. God has to enlarge in hell to make room for them. Why? Because it was not made for them. So God has to enlarge in hell. Now, I'm not saying this is what happened. I heard a preacher say this one time, that that's how come there's, because hell is in the center of the earth. I heard a preacher say this one time, that the reason that they have volcanoes is because that's God making room in hell for others. Now, you can't prove that, but that and a cup of coffee give you something to talk about. Now, can I tell you, though, we understand this, that hell has to be enlarged. And so hell is enlarged, and so God is enlarging hell. Why is he enlarging hell? Because hell was not prepared for you and I. You can dogmatically go up to somebody today and say, it's God's will, you get saved. Amen. You can dogmatically say that. Now, they may say, I don't want to get saved. Or they may say, well, I want to get saved, but I'm going to get saved my way. Because my way is you receive Jesus Christ and be baptized in order to go to heaven. But that's not God's way. Amen. Our Bible says the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Doesn't say through Jesus Christ our Lord and being baptized. Or through Jesus Christ our Lord and keeping the Ten Commandments. Or through Jesus Christ our Lord and attending a Methodist, a Lutheran, a Jehovah's Witness, a Catholic, a Mormon, or a Baptist church. No, it's Christ and Christ alone, friend. And so when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, then now you escape that which is the fires of hell. But the fires of hell are never satisfied. Why? Because there's people that reject Christ. I was witnessing to a man just yesterday, and here's what he said. This man told me yesterday, he said, well, he said, that is your opinion. That's what he said. He said, that is your opinion. I said, friend, one day you're going to see it's not my opinion, and one day you'll be burning in hell if you don't change your mind. You say, preacher, you said that to him? Absolutely. Why? Because that's the truth. I don't want anybody to die and burn to hell. I don't want anybody to die and perish in the fires of hell. You ought not want your neighbor to die and burn in hell. You ought not want your friend to die and burn in hell. You say, preacher, I tell you, is it that important? Yes, it's that important. You ought to thank God that somebody showed you how to be saved and somebody showed your relatives how to be saved. You ought to thank God that somebody cared enough about you to show you your need of Christ. And why don't we care enough about others to show others their need of Christ? May I say this, that the grave is never satisfied. Statement number one. Statement number two, the barren wound is never satisfied. Statement number three, the dry ground is never satisfied. Statement number four, the fires of hell are never satisfied. And let me give you this, and I'll close it out. But Jesus completely satisfies. Jesus completely satisfies. Isn't it neat, those of you that came up on a grandmother's knee, those of you that came up on a mama's knee, isn't it great for those of you that came up on a daddy or a grandpa's knee? Isn't it great to sing the songs of Zion? Isn't it great that your children know songs that are godly songs? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it great to have a church that gives you an opportunity to go to Sunday school and learn about Jesus Christ? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we have a church that has a church service on a Sunday morning where people can come and they can flock in to be able to hear the wonderful news about our Savior? Isn't that absolutely phenomenal? Isn't it great that we have church service on Sunday night where people can come back and they can be exhorted to serve Christ? Isn't that just the cat's meow? I mean, isn't that just wonderful? Isn't it wonderful we have a Wednesday night Bible study where people can come and learn the Bible and be able to go out and be stronger in their faith and their living for God? Isn't that, to me, that is just so neat. It's just so neat to be able to have a place where you can come and grow. Isn't that just neat? Isn't it neat that you have a Bible that's true that you can look at and read and be able to hug and to memorize and to obey? Isn't that good that God thought so much about you that he gave you your very own Bible? Isn't that wonderful? Listen to it. The Bible says in Psalm 107 and verse 9, it says, he that satisfieth the longing soul. That was our text verse. He that satisfieth the longing soul, the Bible says, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Listen to it. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. The Bible says, and the Lord shall godly continually. And satisfy, it says, thy soul in drought. It says, and make fat thy bones. I like that part, don't you? And make fat thy bones, The Bible says, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like the spring of water, whose waters fail not. So he says this. He says, I'll be the one that will satisfy your soul when? In drought. He says, you have a drought time. And by the way, listen, I wish that all of us could live on cloud nine. Don't you? I do. I wish of all of us would have happy days all day long. I wish that was it. I do. Man, I wish we had no burdens. I wish that we could just skippity-doo along, you know, just having a good time, just, you know, woo, just, I mean, I wish that was life. Now, come on, don't you? Don't you wish that you had no bills? Don't you wish you had no health problems? Don't you wish you had no mental challenges? Don't you wish so? Don't you wish that you had neighbors that were godly? Don't you wish that everybody would give you gifts every day? Don't you wish that you were wealthy beyond compare? Don't you wish that, put something else in there. Don't you wish, you fill it in. But now, it's not true, is it?
Amen.
A lot of that's not true. We get older, and our health begins to deteriorate. And our minds are not as sharp as what they ought to be, or at least as what they once were. And all of a sudden, we take on a different figure when we get older. We really do. I've often said that men have problems with Chester drawers. As they get older, their chest drops into their drawers. But it's true. Things change, you know. And can I tell you, but watch this. Listen to that relationship with Christ should never change.
Amen.
That relationship with Christ should always be growing. You know why? Because he satisfies us in the time of drought. I learned many years ago, and I'm wrapping it up right here, but I learned many years ago, never make a decision when your decision maker is broken. Never do that. What are you saying, preacher? All right, when you're having a down day in your life, it's not a time to make a decision. When you're having a discouraging day in your life, it's not a time to make a decision. Well, I tell you what, we're having a down day in our marriage. I guess we'll just get a divorce. It's not a good time to make a decision. You know, it's not a good time to make a decision when things are not going well in your life. You know when most people leave churches, can I tell you? Most people leave churches when they disagree with something. Well, why don't you be the spiritual one and leave a church if you're going to leave a church when you agree with everything? Okay, that went over like a... I'm saying this. Listen to it. I'm done. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 14. The Bible says, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. He said, there's goodness out there. He said, and my people can be satisfied with it, saith the Lord. Are you satisfied this morning? Oh, but preacher, you just don't understand. I've gone through so many things. I understand, my friend, but listen to me. Are you satisfied this morning? Your satisfaction comes in the Lord.
Yes.
I think we look for satisfaction everywhere. You know, I've met wealthy people that are not satisfied. I have. I've been on yachts before, and I would sit down with businessmen, and we would talk, and they would say, well, you know, I'm just not satisfied. Isn't that something? I've been with people that are probably par to being genius. I mean, they're just so sharp, but they're not satisfied. You know, I've been with people that live in Texas. They say, well, I'm going to move north. I'm going to move north. But when they get north, they're not satisfied, so they'll move out west. Then when they get west, they're not satisfied, and so they'll move someplace else. For you know it, going to wind up on Mars. Look, it's not the state that you live in that gives you satisfaction. Well, I tell you what, I shouldn't have married that woman. I knew it from the get-go. I should not have married that woman because her mother-in-law came in the package. But you'll never be satisfied. Look, but one person, if you put your eyes on him, one person can satisfy you, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Learn to walk with him. Let him be the one that gives you that joy. Let him be the one, if you will, that would deliver your troubled heart. Let him be the one that you focus on, because only He can satisfy. Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you so much for these that are here.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.